if you don't have a strong internal why, you know, why are you doing this? Why am I in this business? Why aren't I out watching TV and, you know, watching football games and doing other things I might prefer to do is because I'm looking for my future.
This is the Seven Figure Sales Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Lote. This week we have an interview with Jeff Greenberg of Synergetic Investment Group. Jeff is a former IT professional who has built a substantial business buying student housing portfolios using investor capital. In that, he's had to learn how to network and how to sell investors and just so much more. He's transformed himself into someone who is very good at going out networking and really building out his contact list from being a self-described introvert when he got started. This is a great interview. I hope you enjoy it. If you want to learn how to make money, it's a good idea to learn how to not lose money, right? I have good news for you. It's called the How to Lose Money podcast. This is easily one of my favorite podcasts. The guests are excellent, the failure experiences are fascinating, and the lessons are real. Hosts Paul Moore and Josh Thomas do a great job on this show and are inspiring in their own right. This podcast will show you real examples of how others have learned and bounced back from some really monumental failures. I'm talking small mistakes that led people to losing tens of millions of dollars for themselves or investors in their businesses. We cannot let ourselves be defined by our failures. The How to Lose Money podcast is a handbook on how to overcome and learn from times when things didn't go our way. So check out the How to Lose Money podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Very happy to have you. So if you would tell us a little bit about your background with sales, and I know you're doing some real estate now. Teach us a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, my background isn't so much in sales as it is IT. But for the last 10 years, I've been doing more with the real estate end of it. Never thought that I would be in what I consider sales. But what I am always doing is basically selling myself and my business to potential investors, as well as to the sellers, the brokers that are bringing us deals. So everybody, I guess, is really in sales. You're always, selling yourself, selling your image, selling your credibility. And so that's essentially what I've been doing there.
You're right. I agree with that. I mean, everyone, even though they may or may not know it, is indeed in sales.
I agree with that.
So what are you selling these days in your business? I mean, you're selling yourself, but what do you value you're providing to other people through your business?
What we're doing essentially is providing a service where we bring in investment opportunities. The investment opportunities we're bringing to individuals that either aren't able to get those opportunities themselves, either because they're not interested in doing that, they don't have the time, they don't have the education. These may be high net worth individuals that are running their business and that's what they want to do, but they don't want their money sitting around not working for them. So that's the service we provide. More specifically, we do that by buying multifamily student housing properties. And by running those properties, running those deals, we provide a service to those people that maybe some of them want to learn it too. We do get a lot of investors that want to learn how to do that, and they invest with us as a process to getting credibility as well as learning how to do it. So basically, we sell the service that we provide. And, you know, we're glad to work with high net worth individuals as well as those people that are trying to get into the business.
How did you originally get into it to build your own track record and build your business on your own? Like, where did you come from?
Well, I mean, I have to, you know, sometimes people are kind of embarrassed to admit, but I did start going through some of the guru circuit. At the time I was doing this, I didn't know about a lot of other sources that are out there now. A lot of the podcasts that a lot of people are putting out. Bigger Pockets is a great resource for new people. But when I was doing this, I didn't know about any of that. And so I did go with a gentleman that promotes multifamily properties. And I went with his seminars and I started learning the business. And I was just persistent. There was a lot of people that fell off to the wayside, but I was very persistent on pursuing my end goals. And so that's why I was able to push myself to become successful.
Something that's very important for everyone out there, but people who fancy themselves as salespeople, is that persistence is a big part of building up any business and making sales in general. Is, you know, you got to keep knocking on those doors, making those phone calls, sending those emails in order to get where you need to go, because you're going to face a lot of rejection along the way, no matter what you do.
Absolutely. And it's not just, I mean, certainly you're going to get the rejection, but you also have to look internally as far as what are you prepared to give up, you know, because it's not the get rich quick. I don't believe that real estate is a get rich quick opportunity. And I'm afraid a lot of people are deceived by what they hear from a lot of people up on the stages, that they said anybody could do it. You can, you know, it, 6 months you'll be, you know, sitting on a Caribbean island somewhere sipping martinis. And it's not to say that there aren't some people that are fortunate and it doesn't happen to, but the majority of people it is not going to happen to. If you don't have a strong internal why, you know, why are you doing this? Why am I in this business? Why aren't I out watching TV and, you know, watching football games and doing other things? Things I might prefer to do is because I'm looking for my future. And that's what somebody has to internalize and understand, that there's going to be times you're going to question what you're doing. And I think we've all gone through that.
Absolutely. The strong internal why is something I've heard from a lot of successful people in many industries and many backgrounds. And it's a good point you make about, why am I not sitting and watching the football game right now? For example, why are we, you know, it's an evening right now, at least on my coast. You're out in California. You know, why am I doing this right now? It's because I want to be successful. And I agree that everyone needs to keep their eye on the prize, to borrow the common phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little bit about those initial first sales you made, if you, so to speak, since you came from an IT background, you don't have a sales background, you get to the point where you realize, I need to learn how to sell in order to reach my goals, to make my why happen. How did those initial sales go for you, and who did you model your sales process after?
Well, the initial process started out when I realized that I didn't have enough of my own money to be successful. I started doing this probably in my early 50s. And when I was told that, you know, it could take 15, 20 years before I get to where I really want to be, you know, flipping, or not just flipping, but say buy and hold on single family homes, I said, no, I can't take that much time. I need to get it done faster. And then when I realized that if I get into multifamilies, I could actually raise money from other people. And all of a sudden the light bulb went off and said, okay, I need to know how to do that. And that was essentially the sales end of it, was getting people involved in our multifamily deals. Now, I had never raised a penny from anybody in my life prior to that. And this one was a fairly small raise. It was $350,000. And my partner and I basically went and talked to people we had networked with. We talked to friends and family, but for the most part, friends and family didn't have the money or weren't interested or didn't maybe have the confidence in us. And so essentially we didn't get it from friends and family. We got it more from people that we had networked with and met along the real estate lines. And it was a tough road trying to get that $350,000 for that first raise. But we were successfully able to do that. And I always tell people, you know, the sales end of it is basically we tell people what we are doing and how we're going to do it, the process we're going to do it, how we're going to protect their money, and the, you know, what we expect to bring back as far as returns. And if they're interested, they invest. And if they're not interested, then okay. But as far as sales pitches, we really don't. I've done very few presentations to any more than one-on-ones. Usually it's one-on-one that we do the presentations with. And basically just presenting us and presenting the deal. And if they're interested, they invest.
How do you think about in terms of networking and building contacts, and really you're building a prospect list as you're building your initial contacts? At least, you know, back in the day, and you still do quite a bit of networking and getting out there today, I would imagine. How do you think about that? What's your process for building your prospect list, essentially?
I'm always talking to people about what I'm doing. I'm constantly doing that. I'm also, well, in addition to what I'm doing personally, as far as going out to different events and talking to different people, real estate events and non-real estate events. I have several people that I've been training and been working with them as well to go out and talk to people as well. So I'm expanding my network so that not only am I raising the money, but my team is also raising the money. So I'm building them up to help with the capital raises. And that's a process, building that confidence to be able to talk to somebody about investing. And I hear people a lot of times saying, oh, I'm going to, you know, convince somebody to give me their money. Well, people aren't giving you their money. They are entrusting you with their money, with the opportunity that you're bringing. And it's a sacred trust, if you would, that they're trusting you with this hard-earned money, and the opportunity is second. It's mainly they're entrusting you with their funds, and that's extremely important. So that's basically what I'm teaching my people as far as when they're talking to people, tell them about what we're doing, how much work we spend on researching the property, how much research we do on our due diligence, you know, what we've done to get to this point, how we protect everything against the risks. And if they're interested in investing, they do. That's essentially how we do it.
So you're out there, you're building credibility, you're getting to know as many people as you can, and you're training new people to learn the skills and strategies and everything that they need to know in order to replicate what you've done, or to help build on what you've done. Is that a fair summary?
Yep. Yeah. And the capital raise is just one aspect of it, but it's the major one. Right now, the major thing we're seeing is finding the deals, finding the good deals. For the most part, or, you know, for the last couple of years, the funds haven't been as difficult as finding the deals. There is a lot of money out there that is sitting in banks that is not bringing the returns back for the investors, not getting the yields. And there's lots of investors that are looking for a safe place, you know, a fairly safe place to put their money outside of the volatility of the stock market. And we just need to educate them on other options that they do have.
So in many ways, you're acting as a resource to your prospects, and you see yourself more as a, tell me if this is true, but you see yourself more as an advisor to, well, that might be a little tricky legally, but it's someone that's on their side to your investors and your prospects, rather than someone that's pitching them a particular deal.
You know, we provide a service, and that's what we, if anything, that's what we pitch. That service, that we can do something that, you know, unless they wanted to put in hours and hours and, you know, tons of time educating themselves, they can't do for themselves. So we are providing a service that they wouldn't be able to do. There's times I see things on Bigger Pockets where people are saying, well, why should I invest in a syndication? Why shouldn't I just go out and do that myself? Well, I've got four people working almost full time, sitting there searching for deals, and we're throwing out 300, 400, 500 deals in the last 2 years to the 25 or 30 that we've made offers on. And If they have the time to do that, then fine. If they think they can do better. But for the most part, even when we put a deal together, even with us getting our cut or our fees, they're still making a lot more money than they would be able to do it on their own. And that's basically the sale, is go ahead. They can, you know, if they wish to do it on their own, and I'm, you know, I help people along. People send me deals to look at and say, hey, what do you think of this deal? If they want to go out and find it on their own, that's fine. We take all of that away, that they don't have to do any of that. And for the most part, we're probably going to get them a better return than they would on their own without, you know, with a lot less hassle.
Absolutely. I mean, I invest in apartments in my with my self-directed IRAs specifically because, you know, we can get a very solid return and I don't have to do anything. I just have to find the syndicator and find a number of syndicators and essentially wait for the right opportunity to come along, or sift through the ones that I don't like and pick out the ones that I do.
Absolutely. And the thing is, as a passive investor, their job is essentially to check out the syndicator, the sponsor of the opportunity, and make sure that they're comfortable with that person and get references and, you know, do whatever vetting they need of that person to make sure that they're comfortable with them. Once they're comfortable with them, then when the deal comes along, you know, then you become comfortable with that deal and make sure. But the main thing is the sponsor. You're putting a lot of trust in that person, and you need to do your work up front. Once that's done, then there's really not a lot that you need to do after that.
Are you looking to learn about sales, investing, building a business, and real estate all in one place? Check out the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever podcast on iTunes, the longest running daily real estate podcast in the world. Host Joe Fairless interviews successful investors about their best investing advice without any of the fluff you might get elsewhere. Guests include Barbara Corcoran of Shark Tank, Robert Kiyosaki from Rich Dad, and many, many more. Joe and his guests frequently give excellent advice about sales and selling. I've learned a lot listening to this show, and I know you will too. Go to bestevershow.com and check out the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show on iTunes. What are your tips, maybe top two or three tips, to get a business's sales from zero to seven figures?
Well, the main thing is going to be networking. It's going to be just the people that you have around you that, you know, if everything went away and I still had my network of people, my names, you know, we'd start right back up. You know, we'd be right back running again. But it's mainly the networking and your credibility, your reputation. As long as you don't lose that, you know, you could start right back up. And that's one of the most critical things for a syndicator, for a deal sponsor, is their credibility. And that's why it's so important that we're transparent. We treat the investors properly. We, you know, keep them informed, because without our credibility, the business is over.
Absolutely. Having met you a couple times before, it's my impression that networking a lot fits very well with your personality. You're quite good at it. You seem to really relish it and enjoy getting out there talking to people.
Well, that's true, but it wasn't true in the beginning. That wasn't true. If you had met anybody that knew me in my younger years, they would say, oh, he's very quiet and, you know, doesn't talk to people and more introverted. You know, I've always been an introvert. I've pushed myself. You know, you push yourself beyond your limits. You push yourself out of your comfort zone and you grow. And I think that's in anything you're doing. You push yourself beyond your comfort level, you know, in athletics or business or whatever. The only way you're going to get better at anything is to push yourself to where you're feeling some pain, and then you get better.
I love it. I totally agree. I mean, in anything we do, one of the things that I think James Altucher says is we get 1% better every day. Over the course of a year, you're more than 300% better. And if that compounds, you know, it's an analogy, so it's not perfect, but it makes sense. If we push ourselves, we get better. And I identify as an introvert, but I've definitely changed that over the years to a degree. And it's all through immersion and trying new things.
I've heard that somebody gave me the term closet introvert. So from the outside, everybody, if I tell somebody that I've always been an introvert, they look at me and say, "Are you crazy?" But that's, it's what I have to do for this business was to come out and talk to people, no matter how uncomfortable it is. Sometimes you go out there and talk to people, and hey, you start enjoying it. It's not so painful anymore.
What's a sales technique or strategy you used to use but you don't use anymore? Something that maybe didn't fit with you or didn't work for you that you don't do anymore in your business?
Well, the one that I've always had a little bit of difficult with is, kind of the elevator pitch. It's kind of, if you're not real comfortable with it, it seems canned. And I look at some of the professional sales techniques on doing things, and I've never really gotten into any of those. If you can't relax and, talk to somebody, and you're trying to use some of these canned techniques, that just don't feel comfortable. I mean, I suppose if I practiced some of them over and over again, maybe, but I'm real, I'm transparent. I talk off the cuff. I don't, a lot of that canned stuff, I suppose it works for some people, but I'm not a used car salesman. I don't want someone to think I am. That would really, hurt the credibility.
Yeah, I think it does. It definitely does work for some people, but I've had many successful business people, sales and sales coaches, and all over the map tell me that, the elevator pitch is not always the best strategy, and we should do our best to show interest in the other person and what they're interested in rather than blabbing about what we do, because people like to talk about themselves, so we should give people the opportunity.
Absolutely. And that's the a strategy I've talked to some people as far as the networking. I've talked to people that are new. They go to a conference and you see them standing around by themselves. And I said, "Well, wait a minute, why aren't you out there talking? You've got this opportunity to learn from all these people in the audience." And then they told me, "So, well, I don't really have anything to give. I don't really have anything to share. I don't know anything." I said, "Well, there's people out there that want to talk about themselves. Go out there and ask them. Ask them what they're doing. Ask them how they're doing. You ask them, people love to talk about themselves and tell how successful they are, or, and they love it when somebody respects them enough, they respects their expertise to ask them. So when someone comes up to me and wants my opinion because they've heard of me or they've seen me do something, it's flattering because they respect my opinion. And so somebody new, go around asking all kinds of people for their opinion. What should I do to start in the real estate business? What should I do for this? What should I do for that? Or what do you think of this? People love to talk about it.
Successful people love to talk about themselves as much as, if not more than, people who might not be considered successful or wealthy. They like to, many like to give back and teach new people. Many like to just brag, and both can be, frankly, helpful for somebody who isn't where they want to be, in my
Sure.
opinion. What's the most recent improvement you made to your sales process?
Well, this essentially just training my people on communication with, let's just say for brokers. I mean, I've already talked about training my people as far as looking for equity funds, but as far as working with brokers, we've talked about just strategies and terminology and stuff that we do when we're dealing with brokers, and what information's necessary to get from brokers, rather than calling back five different times, knowing what to talk about on the initial call. That's probably would be my best answer on that.
How can our listeners get in touch with you? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Well, I'm pretty active on BiggerPockets. You can see me there. I also have a website. That's synergeticig.com, and that's synergeticig.com. And you could also get a hold of me at jeff@synergeticig.com. Same spelling.
Jeff, thank you for your time today and all the wisdom.
Thank you, Taylor. Thank you very much.
That does it for our episode with Jeff from Synergetic Investor Group. Thank you for joining us. Like he said, you can find him on Bigger Pockets. All the links that he mentioned during the show, how to find him, are in this episode's description. If you enjoyed this show, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to catch us on the next one. Till then, take care.